Right, let's just come before the Lord and just stretch our arms out towards Luke. Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks again, Lord, for Luke and for his willingness to serve you, Lord. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll speak through him to each and every one of us this morning. And not only to us, Lord, but as your message goes out to the UK, to America, to all over, Lord, I just pray that your word will be a lamp unto their feet. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, frogs got me this morning a bit when I was singing. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to come before the Lord and just sing your heart out. Sometimes I really do wish I could sing so much louder because he deserves more. So this morning I want to talk to you about walking on the water. When I started this, I have this picture of what I want to say. I'm like, okay, walking on the water, and I've had this repetitive thing going through my head the whole week. And when I sat down to write this, it did change a little bit from what I anticipated, but I suppose that's where the Lord wanted me to go with it. So today I'm talking to you about our faith and about our focus. And in that I'd like to start talking about a man, different to Dave's man from last week. This is a modern man, a man with a lack of faith. Man with some very strange views on Christianity. And what is my reason for doing this? Well, it's because there is so much out there, so many things in our lives that detract from our faith in Jesus. And inch by inch, they try to erode our faith. But also to deceive those things that we all think are fine. That we think we don't need to worry about the future, as close as it may be for some. But in this, I actually happened across an article from a site that was called Seen and Unseen. And it gave me some food for thought while I was preparing. So there's a term I learned about. You know, you learn something new every day. It's called New Atheism. Doesn't that sound charming? So according to Mr. Google's AI overview, New Atheism is a 21st century movement characterized by a strong public critique of religion, particularly monotheistic religions, and a focus on science and reason as the primary means of understanding the world. It is not simply a lack of belief in God, but an active stance against religious belief and its influence. Prominent figures like Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, Daniel Dennett, and Christopher Hitchens are often associated with this movement. So if you didn't know, now you know what New Atheism is. So Mr. Dawkins, for those of you who do not know, is the author of a wonderful, and I say the wonderful word very sarcastically, it's called The God Delusion. So I won't be picking that book up anytime soon for a serious read, but also not to give him too much time and credence. I'll start off just by giving you a quote of his when he was speaking about his homeland of England. It said, I do think we are a culturally Christian country. I call myself a cultural Christian. I love hymns and Christmas carols. I feel at home in the Christian ethos. And I find I like to live in a culturally Christian country. Oh, isn't that sweet? Hey? Basically, to sum up his standpoint, he doesn't believe a single word of the Christian doctrine. He is mightily encouraged by the decline of numbers in the Christian faith in England. He believes that he is a comfortable cultural Christian, which is to say that he enjoys the benefits of the lifestyle of the Western society, with laws based on Christian values. being culturally Christian, being opposed to culturally Muslim. You won't catch him believing in the virgin birth, the death and resurrection of our Messiah. It seems he doesn't quite understand that culture is built on the principle that culture doesn't magically appear and grow. It is formed through fundamental beliefs. It's like that saying that you can't have the fruits without the roots. So the reason I'm giving you this small insight is because I found the following quote of his quite disturbing, and for reasons I'll get into in a bit. It's a quote from his book, The God Delusion. So he says, "The 19th century is the last time when it was possible for an educated person to admit to believing in miracles like the virgin birth without embarrassment. When pressed, many educated Christians today are too loyal to deny the virgin birth and the resurrection. But it embarrasses them because their rational minds know it is absurd. So they would much rather not be asked. Hence, if somebody like me insists on asking the question, it is I who am accused of being 19th century. It's quite funny when you think about it. Isn't it fun when people will have us believe that we are the ones stuck in the past, that we are the ones believing the lie, when in truth, they are perpetuating the lie that convinces many people to turn from our Savior, because they are told that they are being naive, or even old-fashioned, or simply, they have no faith, and they don't understand what the Lord did for us. Science is the new God. It explains away all miracles and all creation. Except it can't really do that. Many theories have tried to debunk creation, which we spoke about in the creation record in Genesis. There's the chaos theory, evolution, all these theories that cannot really be proven or substantiated for lack of evidence. There's no evidence yet that continually teach these lies in schools, and it's in general society, it's become accepted. And in this, it mocks God. It goes against the beauty and perfection of his creation. And it goes against his story. So why are these people, Dawkins and all of them, why are they doing these things? Well, maybe it's all just part of a deception. It's about making us feel like it's okay to turn from God, to ignore his existence, because, well, science says that it's a load of nonsense. Maybe they have an uncontrollable desire to be famous or controversial. Maybe it's just to plainly lead those that are coasting through their lives further away from God and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. How could a virgin give birth? Must have been a lie. She must have been covering up having a child out of wedlock. No. It's God's seed. So John 1, verse 1 to 5 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And this isn't Genesis, this is John. So this is 4,000 years later. The lie had been perpetuated for 4,000 years. The truth had been perpetuated for 4,000 years. These heretics are the ones that cannot comprehend anything outside of the physical. They do not understand the power of God. And they try to make people think it's just a book of moral standards and some nice stories. But then this brings me around to Jesus. In the accounts of his birth, his life, his death, resurrection, and the ascension, They're not a story from someone who is smoking crack. They're not made up. It's not some fun story. It has been corroborated. It has been confirmed by many. And it's documented as historical fact. Well, it just so happens that there's this larger book made of 66 books that are perfect in design. Explain to me, how can you get 40 authors, give or take, across about 1,500 years or so to write a story of such insane complexity? Perfect in its message, and all weaving in the story of a Messiah from the beginning to the end. I want to see this incredible AI come up with something anywhere close to God's holy word that has the power not only to change hearts and minds, but the power to save through grace, to heal, to rebuke, to mold, to inspire, and to lead millions, if not billions, of people to the certainty that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I know it feels like a far cry from me talking about walking on water, but that's exactly the point of people like Dawkins that aim to undermine God's God-breathed scripture. After Jesus had fed 5,000 people from 12 baskets, isn't that a miracle? Jesus then sent his disciples out to sea on their boat while he went up to pray. The weather got a bit wild, and the waves and the wind came up. So from Matthew 14, verse 25 to 32, I'll just read that passage quickly. It says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got to the boat, the wind ceased." So I'm not going to dissect each and every line here, but this probably took place around 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. That's normally the fourth watch, so I'm led to believe. And Jesus walks to them in a scientifically impossible manner. And as he does this, he calms them, telling them, "Relax, be happy, all's fine, we've got this. It's the Messiah, it's not a ghost." So Peter asks for proof. "Call me. If I come, Peter totally obediently is focused on Jesus. He gets out of the boat and again does something scientifically impossible. He walks on the water. Now this is not our Messiah walking on the water. This is man. Imagine having Jesus in front of you and that you're so focused on him that you don't even realize that you are walking on a liquid. But life is life, and Peter lets a little Richard Dawkins in, and he starts to doubt. He lets the noise around him in, and he looks around and realizes that he's doing something defiant of science. He starts to sink. And what do we do when things in our life are not going so well? When we need a friend, when we need that special someone to save us, what do? He calls out to the Lord, "Save me! Help!" Without hesitation, without fuss, immediately Jesus reaches out and rescues the sinking sailor. Peter must have felt a little sheepish being chastised by Jesus for having such little faith. Shame. I mean, we can giggle at him, but honestly, what would we have done? Do we have even half the faith to climb out of the boat? To even take the next step in our lives due to fear? When Peter climbed out of that boat, faith unleashed the supernatural. Peter experienced the supernatural force of God, trusting in Jesus by faith. It's the fear and the doubt that sink us. Peter walked on water until he got a fright, and it nearly sank him, until he did the right thing and he called out to Jesus to be his Savior. But Jesus said that Peter had little faith. He had little faith, yet he walked on water. Can you imagine what is possible through our Lord if we have great faith? Imagine the testimonies we could have to show those that have not yet encountered him. Maybe, just maybe, those words, "Oh, you of little faith," were also directed at the disciples in the boat who didn't have the faith to step out onto the water. Only Peter. So what are we to do? Are we to follow the Dickie Dawkins example? To just be satisfied living in a comfortable Western Christian society? Every day we pretend to be good Christians. We say Merry Christmas and Happy Easter. But we have no faith, no redemption, no hope. Where our worries are only our worries. We don't need to dare call on the name of Jesus, because he's just a story that somebody made up to make me feel happy. Or are we to humble ourselves? Are we to admit that we are sinners and that we at many times have a lack of faith? That we believe that Jesus was born to a virgin, another miracle, and that he is the Son of the Most High God, and that he, out of his immense love for us, he gave his life to offer us a path away from sin into an eternity of praise and worshiping at his feet. No hellfire and brimstone. And that we know that when we lose a little bit of focus, that we can call on him and he will stretch out his hand to us immediately and pull us out of the mess we've gotten ourselves into. So there will always be a Dawkins and a Darwin trying to convince us that God isn't real, that we were once monkeys, that it's all some weird, pointless cosmic joke that's been played on us. But no, our lives are not pointless. If they were, what would Jesus have gone through all of that drama for? So I'll leave you with something that gave me a little bit of a sanctified giggle when I found it. Forgive me for this. But Richard Dawkins sat in a tree, sawing every branch he could see. As he sawed through the branch on which he sat, he raged, "It's not fair that I should go splat." Pray for Uncle Richard Dawkins. He will have an encounter with the Almighty Jesus, and that he will become more than just a cultural Christian. And pray that so many other people are in our surrounding area here turn their focus away from themselves in their far too busy lives, away from their highs, their lows, their lies, their woes, and that they have the courage to call on the name of Jesus. That they too may learn what grace is and what the true love of the Father really feels like. I hope that maybe slightly different take made sense. And just open our eyes a little bit to the culture of life. You know, all over the world. I mean, there's prosperity. People in America, there's poverty, but the prosperity is huge. There is enough of everything. There is enough food. Sure, some people might not be able to afford it, but there is enough of everything. Why? Because science gave us everything that we need to live without God. And it's so easy to take life for granted. We're so involved in our lives that we don't think of the next step. We don't think of what comes later. And I see people that reach a certain age, let me not look at everyone, where things start to get a little bit more real. I really hope that so many people out there don't wait until it is too late, that they've wasted their entire lives before they start to think, what did I miss? And through careful prayer and with love, I really do hope that the Lord opens the eyes and the hearts of so many in this area that really need saving. And if nothing else, that need a friend, that need that someone that they can depend on. And from there, we spread out and we conquer the world, right? Because that's what Jesus instructed us to do. So if we could just bow our heads for a moment. Because Lord, we are constantly humbled by your plan. We try so hard to understand every minor detail, but we need not worry, fret. We don't have a care in the world because we have you and we trust you. And Lord, may our faith in you and your grace lead the way. That we don't just walk one foot in front of the other blindly, doing the bare minimum to get through. When there's so much excitement in this world, because it's a preparation. This life isn't just to get a job, to make money, to get through. It's our preparation, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, help us. Help us to prepare for what is to come. And I'm not talking about what is to come in an earthly sense. Lord, do we want to worship at your feet for an eternity? Do we love you? Amen, we love you, Lord. We praise you for the small blessings that you've been bestowing upon us for months and for years. That you've kept us in the palm of your hand and you've carried us through to the point we're at now. And at this juncture, Lord, are we climbing out of the boat? Are we putting all of our eggs in your basket? Or are we sitting one foot in the world, one foot in your kingdom? Are we lukewarm? Lord, you sent us your Spirit. Lord, move in us. Activate something in us, Lord, that changes us. That turns us away from self. That turns us towards others and towards you. Fill us with your love. Because that love is a light. Brightest light that the darkness will ever see, and it won't see it for long, because the darkness cannot exist where your light exists, Lord. So I just pray, Lord, that you let us shine your light to this area and outwards from there. Thank you for your gift of grace. Thank you for hunting us down, for finding us, for bringing us home, for outstretched hands that keep pulling us out of the muck and the mire that we get ourselves into. All glory be to Christ. In your mighty name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.